Well, let's continue now. That was just really a short story of an overall thing with King Nebuchadnezzar and what happened. And we're going to read more about what happened to him. But let's get a little basis of this background. Let's turn over here to Leviticus 26. You know, God has all this set up from the beginning. He's had the great last day all planned. He's had all of this done from the beginning. When God is, see, God's perfect. God has no alternatives or options. He only thinks perfect. And there's only one way of thinking, and that's perfect. And so he does it perfectly every time. When he rested that first seventh day, it pictured the great last day that would go on forever. It's all there. It's all consistent. He never varies. He never wavers on anything because his mind is perfect. And we're starting to see this more and more, really appreciating this. Back here in Leviticus 26, he told, of course, through Moses, different things that were going to happen to this country. He told Moses, even though you give them all the laws, the statutes, all the judgments, they're not going to keep it. They're going to go their own way. They're going to serve other gods, and I'm going to have to bring curses. So don't have big high hopes that this is, you know, what you're doing here is going to last. It's not going to. Because without God's Holy Spirit directing you, you cannot do this. You can't do it. It's impossible. And it has been proven through all the examples in the Bible. Just can't. So in verse 31, starting there, he says, I will make your cities waste. And you have, I'm breaking into this, and you can read this later. But he says, I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. There won't be any more sacrifice. There won't be that there were before. Because I'm going to take it all away. He says in verse 32, I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. They're going to be astonished. This great city and this great country will be brought down to nothing. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. I don't think that door back there opening is going to work. I'd rather sit in the hot. We're trying to get a fan, but it's in the corridor. All the workers are working in back there. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths. There was a Sabbath rest to the land, and they never got it. They never obeyed God's way. As long as it lies desolate, and you be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. You didn't do anything I asked you to do. That's what he's saying. He says they're not going to do it at all. Verse 36, and upon them that are yet left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and a sound of the shaking of a shaking leaf shall chase them. They're going to be so jittery and everything because they've been stormed over about five times just from Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, the enemy's coming, the enemy's coming. There's going to be like this little trembling little leaf flying around. As fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursues. They're just going to give up. They're going to be beaten down, worthless, intimidated, weak. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were, upon a sword, when none pursues. And you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. They just come in and take. And you shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they shall, and they that are left of you, shall pine away in their iniquity and their sins, in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. Hey, I'm going to bring this nation, a great and powerful nation. I'm going to take it and do, boom, nothing. And any of you that are left, that are captives, are just going to be wimps. That's what he's saying. If he used the word wimp here, he'd put it in. You're just going to be wimps. Nothing. Beaten down. No power. No wealth. No strength. Nothing. You'll have nothing. And in verse 43, and the land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy the Sabbaths, while she lies desolate without them, and shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because they despise my judgments, and because their soul abhorred the statutes. Everything of God that he gave them, he brought them on through Moses, brought them out through that captivity, did everything. They hated everything, and they did contrary to him. Remember those scriptures that it says, don't even inquire about their gods. When you go and take over their nations, don't inquire about their gods. Don't seek after about their gods. You notice that I don't use all kinds of references. I don't use the big commentaries. I don't use other self-proclaimed editors and authors of books and say, well, I found this really interesting. Let's see how this fits into the Bible. You know what? It doesn't. The Bible fits into the Bible. The Word of God fits here, and there isn't anything else. If you can get some historical facts or get this or that, and it goes along with the Bible, that's fine. I don't know about you. I don't have any other time. The little time that I have to spend in here, and I have to prepare, and God has to work with me to prepare what he wants to be given. And I enjoy that. I don't do any studying on my own. In other words, subjects. I don't say, well, you know, we don't understand this particular subject so clearly. I'm going to make a study. I won't even open up the Bible and read about it. Now, you can, but I won't, because I will never, ever sit in front of God's people and say, well, I did this study, and I think it's this way. No, we all heard that too many years. It's not ever going to be that way. God's doing it this time. Jeremiah also tells what will happen to Judah and who will do it and for how long. These are all the things that God said would happen. So let's turn over to Jeremiah 25. And I can only give you a few scriptures. I cut this down so bare bone, and I don't even know if I'll be able to get to all these. I hope so. You know what? I'm flipping around here talking, my thinking. I can't find Jeremiah here. Somebody came in last night and stole it from my Bible. Here it is. It had to be somebody else's fault. It couldn't have possibly been mine. We all know that we're the brightest, the best, the sharpest, and we disprove that every day, don't we? Thank God. He's doing it. No one else. No one else would have chosen any of us. Only our loving Father. In Jeremiah 25, starting in verse 7, it says, yet you have not hearkened unto me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, and of course they couldn't, and he's doing this as an example, but they obviously didn't do it, so. It says in verse 9, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, this feared king, absolute pagan king, my servant. He's going to do this. And I will bring them against this land and against inhabitants thereof and against all the nations around about it, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolation. He's going to really do it. Moreover, Verse 10, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride and the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. Everything that was good and decent and nice and happy and joyous, take it all away. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. Just, whoa, people in other kingdoms go, I can't believe this has happened. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. You know, in the old church we had all these 70-year prophecies and this and that and all the other stuff. And hey, it already happened. I'm sorry it happened. Oh, well, it must have just been a type because we're the important ones. It's going to happen. No, they were the important ones and it happened to them for an example. And it was taken care of. It's not type, anti-type. Well, maybe it didn't work into my plan, so maybe it has to be dual. This, that, that. No, it's physical, spiritual. Physical nation of Israel, spiritual nation of Israel. Sorry. All these prophecies fly away. They were prophecies. They were fulfilled. Well, let them alone. We have enough to worry about. Instead of trying to make our own deal up like Satan did, sitting in the temple of God for all those years. And in verse 12, and it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, says the Lord, for their iniquity and their sin in the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation. He's going to turn the tables. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all these nations. I'm going to do it. I spoke through him, and now it's going to happen. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves to them of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. So he's going to do it. And he tells us numerous times by different prophets all the way through his scripture, I'm going to do this. No gimmies in there. No, maybe I can change his mind. I'm going to do it. Because if he lies once, if we catch him in one lie, we're fried. You know, we're going to die and that's it. It's going to be over. We're going to really die forever. But with him and with the power that he has and the power of the resurrection, we're just going to go to sleep someday or be changed. You know, the nice thing about this, a dead person doesn't know they're dead. They feel nothing more than you did last night, unless you had some big technicolor dream. When you woke up, how many hours you got, if it was 2 or 8, you didn't know anything. You were, as they said, dead to the world, and you were. And that's the way every person who has died is. They're just sleeping. Remember, the power of the Father's mind, everyone who has ever existed or ever will be right there in his mind, not on a shelf someplace. And at some given time, about 50 billion people will stand on this earth that fast, with all of their memories, with their personality, with everything. And they'll be filled with God's Spirit. And they'll remember every thought. And it'll happen that fast. Now, there's a being that you can worship. Because you'll never find anything that can do that. He is God Almighty. Period. Period. Come back to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 36. Because it's just recorded over and over. It's going to be fulfilled. It's going to be to fulfill God's word. Starting in verse 20. It says, and them that are escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon. So anyone who was left, they got carried away. Where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of this king of Persia. And that's the one who took over Babylon and smashed that. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. Until the land that enjoyed, until the land hath enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept the Sabbath to fulfill 70 years, 70 years. He says it again. He puts it with all these different prophets and all these different writings, so no one can make a mistake on this. Come to Daniel 9. And you all basically know the story of Daniel here. So I can't get into too much history of it. But in Daniel 9, of course, all this had already happened here with Nebuchadnezzar. And he'd already been a beast in all this, but we'll get to that in a moment. Daniel 9, verse 1. It says, in the first year of this person, this son of whoever, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. So the Medes and these Persians, they came and they took it, and they're going to be another head of the beast, of course. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by or the books, he understood this finally, the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in this desolations of Jerusalem. So after these things had really happened, and they were going to be set free, and they're going to go back and build the temple and all this again, Daniel finally understood that. Isn't God great? It's the only one that when he says something, he means it. And he'll always do it. He'll never say, well, you know, I told you this, this, and this, but you know, I've been thinking the last 2,000 years, I think we're going to do it this way. Well, wait a minute. You said you're going to do it this way. He always does it the way he says he's going to do it. He's the only one in the universe that you can count on. And now you can count on his son because he is part of the Father. So you can count on both of them. But the Father, you know, it's his house, it's his rules. And that's just the way it's going to be. All of this came, of course, after this fall of Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar is long gone by that time. Now I want to take you back here. I want to finish this thought, and then we'll get back to Nebuchadnezzar real quick. Turn back to Leviticus 26, where we were, but there's a couple of things that I skipped there on purpose. I am dyslexic, but I still know what I'm doing. I didn't skip them by accident. Leviticus 26, starting in verse 40. Because God puts this in. When you read something, he'll talk about this, and then all of a sudden he puts this in. He talks about this again. But when you know the whole flow, well, then it makes sense. Before we didn't know the flow, so we always got it messed up. But in verse 40 here, he tells him, after he says, you know, you're not going to do it, and I'm going to have to destroy you. But he says, if they shall confess their iniquity, their sins, and the iniquity of their fathers, which with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, if they will ever just confess it, if they do this. Verse 41, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity and their sins. In other words, oh boy, look what we did. Then, in verse 42, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. Coming down to verse 44. And yet, For all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them, to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors. Thank God he's got a long memory. Whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. So he knew. And he's setting this up. And he says, you know, I'm going to remember this. This is what he said. If they will confess. Well, we're going to see a fulfillment of that. Come back to Daniel 9. So after Daniel is beginning to see this, and God is opening up his mind to this, he understood this, and he understood these 70 years that was going to happen. So in verse 3, he starts to talk and pray to God. And this does away with what has happened in the past. And of course, every prayer is inspired by God. You don't think you just go there and rattle your mouth. No, you're there on your knees in the first place because God's putting you there. And he will inspire you. Every time you start hearing your words in there, just back say, you know, excuse me, Father, I was just blabbing off here. I want to get back on your greatness and your way. And we are going through this particular problem. We certainly ask for your mercy and your joy in that and help us to get through that and to guide us with it. But you are so awesome. You are so good. And give him the praise and honor that he deserves. Verse 3 of chapter 9 of Daniel. And I set my face, this is Daniel speaking, unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession. And of course he was a prophet, and he was speaking for the people. And said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned, Father, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from your precepts and from your judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto your servants, the prophets, which spoke unto in your name, to our kings and our princes and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs unto you, because we don't have it. But unto us, confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all of Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries. Whether they have been driven them because of their trespasses, that they have trespassed against you. In verse 8, O Lord, to us belongs confusion of face, and to our kings, and to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. You generally don't get somebody saying how much they have sinned, unless God is there working it and doing it. It says, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God and walked in his laws, which he set forth or set before us by his servants the prophets. And neither did any one of us. This could very well be our prayer too, couldn't it? Yea, all Israel have transgressed your law, even by departing, that they might not obey your voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, all those 70 years, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, so he did exactly what he said, which he spoke against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand the truth. Oh, we didn't do any of that. We just stayed in our own way. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all of his works which he does, for we obeyed not his voice. We haven't obeyed him. Of course he had to do that. And now, O Lord, our God, that hath brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hath gotten thee renowned, as at this day, we have sinned, and we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I beseech you, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for our iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become as a reproach to all that are about us. Now, therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and cause your face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open your eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present or cause to fall our supplications before you, before you for our righteousness, but for your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for the city and thy people are called by your name. That's a prayer. That's inspired by God. That's the same kind of prayer each one of us should be giving all the time. He says, restore this, bring this back, bring this great power back, because it honors and it glorifies you. You know, that's just a quick little lesson there in history of what happened there to Israel with Nebuchadnezzar in that time. But I want to go back and look again here in Daniel 4 real quick, and I hope I don't have to skip too much, about what Nebuchadnezzar wrote. All of it happened, and all of it was accomplished. And the poor king that had to go through it, and it was rough. It was not a good time in his life. Let's start reading verse 1. I may have to jump around here as we go and watch the clock. It says, Daniel 4, verse chapter 4, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king unto all the people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and the wonders that the high God has wrought toward me. And this is after he's gone through all of this, and he recaps all of this. For great, so great, how great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is forever. It's an everlasting kingdom. And his dominion is from generation to generation. There'll be no end of this. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and was flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the vision of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men, I'll paraphrase as I go a little bit, all the wise men of Babylon before me, and that they might know unto me the interpretation of this dream. Then came in all the magicians, the astrologers, all the Chaldeans, which all were the religious people there, and the soothsayers, all of these. And I told them the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation. They went, duh, I don't know. Boy, I could figure the other one. This one, I don't know. Don't know. I have no idea. But at the last, in verse 8, Daniel came in before me. See, God placed him there, so he had access to him, whose name was, we'll just call him Daniel. Much easier here. Because there's other people with the same almost name, but it's spelled with a different little letter in there. I was watching that last night. So it's just Daniel. According to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream, saying, Daniel, master of the magicians here, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no secret troubles you. Tell me the vision of my dream that I have seen and interpret. Tell me about this. Thus were the visions of my head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. It's this great tree. The tree grew and was strong. Verse 11, and the height thereof reached unto the heavens, and the sight thereof at the ends of all the earth. This is a huge tree. I mean, a vision can do this. It's just huge. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and the meat for all, and the beasts of the field shadowed under, and the fowls sat in here and dwelled in there, and all the flesh was fed of it. And of course, it was picturing his kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar, the kingdom of Babylon. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and all of this, behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. And he cried aloud and said thus, hewn down the tree, cut the tree down, and cut off its branches, shake off the leaves, and scatter the fruit, and let the beast just run away from under it, and the fowls from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let 7 times or 7 years pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, these angels, and the demand of the holy ones, which is the Father and the Word, to the intent that the living may know all of this upon this man, that all may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whoever he will and sets up over it the basis of men. And I think by looking at our own government today, we see the basis of all men. Oh, there's 2 or 3 little parties, and they're all equally as base, aren't they? And they are all over the world. Satan's doing it. His spirit is doing it. And that's why we see the evil. It says, this dream, he goes to Daniel and says, I want to know what this is all about. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom were not able to tell me. Then, verse 19, Daniel was astonished or stonied. He's just stonied. I don't know what's going on. I got to think about this. I got to let God reveal this to me. For a whole hour, and his thoughts troubled him. If you're Daniel and you're seeing the vision of this dream, you probably wouldn't run out to the most mighty man on earth and tell him this either. You know, he was still a human. So Daniel let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble him. So he says, he answered, and he says, my Lord, the dream be to them that hate you, and the interpretation thereof is they are enemies. The tree that you saw, which grew and was strong, and the height reached up into heaven, and all of that, and the sight thereof and all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit, and the beast under, and the branches, and all the habitations. Verse 22, it is you, King Nebuchadnezzar, O King, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reached the heavens and the dominion of the earth, to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and the Holy One coming down from heaven and saying, hew down the tree and leave the roots and all of that, and we read that again. Verse 24, this is the interpretation, O King. This is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my Lord, the King. He's saying, you know, this isn't a good thing. Brace yourself, because here it comes. He says in verse 25, that they shall drive you forth They shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. And they shall make you eat grass as oxen, and shall wet thee with the dew of the heaven. No house, nothing. You're just going to sleep out there and feel like a goat, anything. I guess a goat would be a good thing to picture there, because I always picture Satan. And 7 years or seven times shall pass over you till you know that the Most High reigns in the kingdom of men and gives it to whoever he will. And whereas the command you leave this stump, kingdom shall be sure unto you. After that you shall know that the kingdom, know that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto you, and break off your sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of this. You know, let this happen. Well, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, in verse 29, at the end of 12 months, a whole year after he heard all of this, now he's walking in his palace there in Babylon, this huge palace. He's a king over everything. The king spoke and said in verse 30, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Uh-oh, bad words. While the word was still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you. Right then. And God doesn't mess around with time. He goes, right then. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat of the grass, and seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He couldn't say, can we barter? Can we? No. Boom. And he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet by the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird claws. He's like an animal out there. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven after 7 years. You see, it pictured the seven churches, didn't it? And until those seven churches are complete and finished and gathered, the world can't be clean. Nothing can be clean until the church is done first. All the stuff is all in this. He looked up to heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him that lives forever, whose dominion is everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth, all of them, whereas nothing, and he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. That's the point. None can stay his hand or say unto him, well, what do you do? Why are you doing this? No, he just does it, and nothing can get out of the way of it. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, this little physical kingdom that he had, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. All those works are true, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. You think you are somebody? You ever thought that you were somebody? He can bring it down, and he will bring it down. And all of us, I think, as we come into this, as he is bringing us closer and closer to that plan of salvation and that knowledge of that, He does abase us, and he does bring us down. He does knock out the righteousness, our little, well, self-righteousness. We have no righteousness. We have nothing but evil and sin and iniquity. And that's the way he made that. And only when his Spirit becomes upon us and in us and seals us and works with us to get to that point. That's the only righteous stuff. That's the only good stuff. He did all these things for these examples so that we can understand and we can learn and we can know. We can see Nebuchadnezzar in our own lives. You're supposed to be the king of your castle. Well, most of us don't have much of a castle. But whatever we have, we're the king of. Yeah, well, he can bring us down from that too. And he can take away. If you had a castle, believe me, he can take it away. He just takes it away. You're helpless. You can do nothing. You stand back because you've tried, nothing works. And then you see it all go away. And you know what? After it, you go, that wasn't really that important, was it? Now that it's gone, it wasn't important. Because I'm still here, and look at the knowledge that he's giving. Look at the understanding he's giving all of us. That's the only thing you're taking in to the kingdom of God, is what God's doing right here. Right in the mind, right in the heart. That is what we take in to God's kingdom with us. Well, I actually kept this to one sermon. That's another time people lost their bets, right? No, I hope no one's betting out there. I like to keep it a little lighter on the road and not to get real deep in something. But I want to thank you all for driving. Many of you had very long drives to get here. I appreciate that. I enjoy seeing everyone in between the feasts. And seeing how you're doing, and you can ask me questions or whatever. Remember, there's no such thing as a foolish question. There's just foolish answers. And I try not to give those, and I wait for God to give it. If I don't know it, I wait and pray about that. Let him answer it. That's the multitude of counsel that I seek. I go to him often and ask him to keep letting us know what we need to know. We don't need to go to men. We need to go to God. So again, thank you all for coming. We all have a nice dinner planned in the next room. Hopefully the air conditioning is on in there. I told some people that we finally found out we weren't going to go to hell, but I guess God was going to give us a preview of it today, at least with heat a little bit in the room. But no matter what, Satan tries it. He never gets it accomplished. And we still enjoy ourselves and enjoy being together with one another. So at this time, I'm just going to have to say until next time to love one another, pray for one another, and until next time, I'll have to say goodbye.